stories, big guests, the big picture. Afternoons with Rob Breckenridge. Weekdays 1230 to 3, 770 CHQR.
Canadians sent him back with another minority at the cost of $600 million and deeper divisions in our great country.
Well, that was Conservative leader Aaron O'Toole last night reacting to the results of the 2019 election. Oops, I mean the 2021 election. Hard to tell them apart after all. So yes, we spent $600 million and risked who knows what else in terms of the pandemic or just unity in this country to end up right back where we started. Almost identical results. It's really uncanny. But of course, those results in 2019 led to a change in leadership in the Conservative Party. So what does this mean for Aaron O'Toole, who certainly sounded like someone last night, ready and willing to contest another election? Whatever that might be, 18 months, 2 years from now, hard to know. So yes, I think this is the kind of election result that probably leaves everybody disappointed. The Liberals didn't get their majority. The Conservatives came up short. The NDP and the Bloc, I don't know that there's too much there for them to get excited about either. But joining us for some further thoughts on this election, what it means for the Conservative Party, what it means for the West. Very pleased to welcome to the program our friend Elise Mills, Conservative strategist, analyst, a senior associate with Sussex Strategy Group. Elise, great to have you with us here. Welcome back to the program.
Rob, thanks for inviting me back.
So like I say, I mean, it's hard to see how anybody could get all that excited about these results last night. There was some disappointment for everyone, but what were your initial impressions when you saw the results coming in?
You know, initially when you start to see Atlantic Canada, you think, okay, this might be, you know, the big, big movement towards, you know, equaling this out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Was I surprised? No, but I had always been hopeful that the Conservatives were going to be able to break through. I think what was very disappointing was to see the PPC grow their vote. I'm obviously challenged by, I wouldn't say their ideology, but their opinions. And they have so many opinions, Rob.
Yes.
And a lot of them are not rooted in fact. Mm-hmm. But I'm not here to, take a shot at PPC, but I don't know where that leaves us as a country as well. I think what's more concerning to me is I haven't seen this country this divided since the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And the West is still, you know, treated like a little kid at the table. So not much has changed there either.
So what does it mean now for, let's talk about Aaron O'Toole and the Conservative Party. I think Aaron O'Toole ran a pretty disciplined campaign. He's clearly good at, campaigning in an election. There were maybe some issues that tripped him up a little bit toward the end. Perhaps the situation in Alberta became more of an issue than he bargained for. But where do you see him in terms of his strengths, and is it enough to keep him in the position going forward?
I think he's incredibly agile, and he demonstrates a leadership and a collaboration that I haven't seen in a long time. I really appreciated that he decided to put everything on the line and modernize the Conservative Party, because up until then, we've been living in 2011. And as I've said to my colleagues, you know, I framed the newspaper clippings of that massive blue wave. But that's where it belongs, is on your wall and behind you. That's one victory. But it shouldn't have taken us a decade to shed the skin, modernize. Canadians have changed. Conservatives have changed. If you look at the last decade, how people understand or see climate change is very different from the Conservative side. But it doesn't mean leaving Alberta, pushing Alberta further away and pushing those sectors away. I mean, Justin Trudeau supports Atlantic Canada's energy, so much so he doubles down on giving free money to them with absolutely no repayment schedule. I mean, look what happened at Muskrat Falls or Hibernia. I think the message Justin Trudeau has said, you know, has told Newfoundlanders and Atlantic Canadians is, I support your energy, I support your forestry, I support your fishing, but by the way, Western Canada, all those industries are a different set of rules. And I think Aaron O'Toole made it very clear that we've got to stop picking winners and losers, and we've got to bring everybody back to Confederation and around the table, right?
Yeah.
I liked all of that. I liked Aaron's announcement around mental health. I liked the idea that women were not a sub section in the platform, that, you know, that we were, that women were mentioned in ways that, you know, we identify as business owners, not just mothers, not just, you know, sexual health, for example, but all those things are important. But we have the same questions men do about our taxes, our finances, our future in this country, and what the future means for our children. So I think what we have to do, and I would really hope that conservatives would understand this, we've got to give this leader another run at this. We need to be able to, this is relatively new to, for the Conservative Party, and it doesn't matter how much people like me have wanted to go this direction, but this is where we need to go, and we need to hone in and perfect the platform, our positions, and take a look at some other areas, I think, including what we're looking at with carbon tax and how that relates to the energy sector. We need to come up with a more fulsome and, I think, more intelligent position on climate change.
It's interesting. When we look across the country, I mean, the Conservatives were up in Atlantic Canada. The Conservatives were up in Quebec. The Conservatives were up in Ontario. Interestingly, you know, it was in the West where that support dipped a little bit, dipped a bit in BC where you are, and dipped, you know, about 13 or 14 points in Alberta, which was a little surprising. And maybe there are other reasons for that. Erin O'Toole didn't come to Alberta. Maybe it would have been bad optics, you know, if he's, you know, it seems desperate that he's trying to hold on to Fortress Alberta. But I don't know. What do you make of those results?
Well, it's interesting because Jagmeet Singh took a lot of criticism for being in Alberta. And I felt that it was the right move to respect where Albertans were. It's devastating to see what's happening in Alberta. And as your neighbor over in BC, I'm none too pleased that we seem to be unable to help you. I think we have to put politics aside, especially those who are complaining that, you know, everything's become political, like vaccines and masks. Well, those same people need for our neighbors. I believe we have the ability to do so, but I do respect Erin for taking, you know, putting it on the line and not going to Alberta. I wish Mr. Singh and Mr. Trudeau had done the same, walked their own talk. But it was devastating to see that the PPC were a significant factor into why we lost certain ridings in Western Canada. This used to be a place that we could rely on. BC was a far more competitive place for Conservatives than those seats that you're talking about in Alberta and even in Saskatchewan, for example. I think that this is another reason, Erin O'Toole, we need to stay consistent with our leaders. The last thing that this party needs is another leadership. You know, we've had to, and it's time to buckle down and really do the work. And I would say to Conservatives, the work is actually in the policy convention. The work is on the convention floor, if we can ever get back to having those types of conventions. And this is not the sexy stuff. We actually have to contribute to our EDAs, which is our ridings. We actually have to communicate with our riding presidents, our MPs, if we have one. We have to communicate with other brothers and sisters in the party and be able to move forward together, not another leadership race, which is just divisive.
Well, and that's the thing. And you know, and I wonder, because I don't think Erin O'Toole deserves criticism for running a positive campaign or trying to stay out of the muck.
God forbid, right?
But I mean, you know, the way that it was almost like, you know, the Liberals and the PPC were feeding off each other, the divisiveness. And, you know, I think they both capitalized on that. And you alluded to it earlier. I mean, it leaves us as a country in a... You know, even though we got basically the same results in the House that we had before, we're a lot more divided. There's a lot more, you know, ugliness than there was even, you know, 30 or 40 days ago.
Well, you know, that hubris that Mr. Trudeau demonstrated last night and this morning, I think, you know, the journalist reminded him that this is the lowest or smallest minority in our country's history, and he did not win the popular vote. And that's not to say I'm going to litigate the mandate that he has in front of him. You know, in some ways, I'm seeing this glass half full. It allows us to hone our message. It allows, much like with Jagmeet Singh, this will allow Erin to only get stronger and better, which I think Jagmeet Singh did since 2019. And it also is actually more of a curse for Mr. Trudeau. You know, Mr. Trudeau is taking this as a win. I take this as a very stern warning from Canadians. Don't do this again. And I think that there are a lot of minefields ahead of Mr. Trudeau as well. This is also a good thing for Erin O'Toole and the Conservatives. It also allows us to see where the fringe parties in this country are going to contribute to our political dialogue, our discussion. What's, for example, going to happen with the Greens? I think Ms. Paul needs to be at the table. And Rob, I think she's in the right arena, but she's on the wrong team. She reminds me a lot of Jody Wilson-Raybould, right?
Yeah.
Very intelligent. I think she was the bright spark in the election. I found her entertaining and she made me smile and I was excited for her. I wish we could get her on the conservative yes. side, but that's never going to happen. But, you know, I don't think we should see this as a cakewalk for Mr. Trudeau. Legislatively, and you know this, governance is a whole lot different from retail politics, and that smile and that, you know, the hair and everything, Canadians aren't buying it anymore. And I think we have, I think, you know, this is not so much that Canadians didn't want to see conservatives. It had a lot to do with the intersection of the PPC. Unfortunately, maybe possibly Jason Kenney. I hate to say that. It hurts my heart to say that. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that we hadn't, that maybe, you know, with our initial platform coming out, and this is really, like I said, you know, a shedding of the skin of 2011, maybe we just need to hone, maybe we need to spend, invest in that, because conservatives used to be the, you know, the thinkers of Canada, the party of lawyers, the professors, to lead Canadians to future. And we used to give a hand up, not a hand out. And our job is to make the environment prosperous so that you can achieve what you need to achieve. You can be your best self. I don't know if we've necessarily figured out how to explain that to Canadians in a way that they understand in bite-sized chunks. But I am very proud of Mr. O'Toole's campaign. I was frustrated on the gun control issue and the flip-flopping. But Rob, haven't I always said on your show that I'd love for us to give more space and more leeway for politicians when they want to apologize or they want to admit they've done something wrong, and allow them to make that U-turn and say, you know what, that shouldn't have been there, right? Yeah. So I can't say, my anger is not towards Mr. O'Toole, I actually don't have any anger. My frustration is more about I think it wasn't what we had in the platform. It's some of the things that I felt that we needed to have that weren't there, that I'm a little bit frustrated by.
Right. Elise, we'll leave it there. Always appreciate the input and the conversation. Thanks for making some time for us here today.
Yeah. Well, good luck this afternoon in Alberta. You've got another big political story coming your way.
Oh, my goodness. Do we ever see how it goes?
Oh, my goodness. Hold on to your hats, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Appreciate it. Elise, take care. We'll talk again.
Rob,
all right.
Care.
There you go. That's political commentator, analyst Elise Mills, a senior associate with Sussex Strategy Group, and, you know, some perspective from the conservative side of things. So she's very much of the opinion that, look, Erin O'Toole is not the problem here. And maybe if you give him, whenever the next election is, say 18 months or 2 years, to really lay the groundwork for another go at this. Look, Harper lost in 2004, right? And the Conservatives gave him another go. He was the Prime Minister 2 years later. So your thoughts on that side of things, your thoughts on the election results, you know, in whichever way you want to interpret them, or whatever's got you happy or feeling frustrated today, as Elise just alluded to, 3:30 today, we're going to get a cabinet shuffle here in Alberta. The Premier is staying as the Premier, as far as we know, but we're going to have a new Health Minister as of 3:30-ish this afternoon. That's been confirmed by multiple sources. We'll see what else changes. We're going to get a COVID update at 5 o'clock today with the Premier, Chief Medical Officer of Health, and maybe the new Health Minister. There is an in-person UCP caucus meeting tomorrow. A lot of conversation about Jason Kenney's future. And he intends to fight to keep his job as Premier, even though there's some rumblings in the party that maybe it's time for somebody else. And the other bit of news today, the Alberta government has officially reached out to the federal government asking for help in dealing with this fourth wave of the pandemic. Help in transporting patients to other provinces, help in providing additional staff, doctors, nurses, etc. So, a lot going on here today on this Tuesday afternoon. My name is Rob Breckenridge. We are back with more right after this.
Afternoons with Rob Breckenridge, starting at 12:30 on News Talk 770 Calgary.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.